Let's listen to the words of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 as Myra comes this morning. I encourage you to have this open before you this morning. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service, in spreading the gospel of Christ and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you, and that our labors might have been in vain. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Amen.
Well, it's great to be here today. I think Lee is probably very pleased to see me, because the last time I was down to speak, I was a no-show. Circumstances prevented me, and poor Lee was landed. I wanted to... The actual title of the talk, as in our series, is Standing Firm. But I wanted to broaden that a little to Destined for Trials, Standing Firm, because it better reflects, I think. In other words, there's good news and there's bad news. And there used to be lots of jokes, good news and bad news jokes. And I always said that as a speaker, I would never start off with a joke because I can't tell them very well. But I'm going to try a one on good news and bad news. And there's a story of a pastor who got up one Sunday and announced to his congregation, "I have good news and bad news. The good news is we have enough money to pay for our new building program. The bad news is it's still out there in your pockets." And when we were talking one time about old age, I was talking to our Ian, and it must have been at the time when these jokes were going round, and he said, "You don't need to worry, Mum. I'll look after you. I've booked you into a nursing home." And he said, "The bad news is it's got a 7-year waiting list." He said, "The good news is you've been on it 5 years." So, thanks, son. And more seriously, a wise person once said, "The bad news is you can't have it all. The good news is that when you know what's really important, you don't want it all anyway." Praise God. So good news and bad news. Our lives are full of good news and bad news all the way through. And you know, sometimes it can all happen on the same day. You can get good news and be really pleased about things and get bad news as well, all on the same day. But you know, it's not only our lives that are like this. The scripture is like this too. You know, Abraham was a man who walked with God and did what he said. He heard God's voice. How amazing is that? He heard what God had to say to him. And that was the good news. The bad news is, one day God said to him, I want you to sacrifice your own son. And Joseph, he was a man who got good news from the Lord in dreams. The Lord told him one day he was going to be great and other people were going to bow down to him. The bad news is that his brothers sold him into slavery and he had to be in prison for 13 years before that ever came about. And you know, with Jesus, the bad news is that he was brutally tortured and he was killed. But the good news is that his death paid our ransom and we are free because of him. And so in the passage that we're looking at today, there's good news and there's bad news. And the bad news is, as Lee's just read, is that we're destined for trouble. Are you excited about that? That is bad news in a sense, isn't it? We are destined for trouble. And it said that in verse 2. We sent Timothy to visit you. He's our brother and God's co-worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ. We sent him to strengthen you, to encourage you in your faith, and to keep you from being shaken by the troubles you were going through. But you know that we are destined for such trouble. Have you ever thought about that? That you're destined for trouble. And so when we're looking at this, Jesus said, he said, in the world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And Paul was concerned that these Thessalonians would be shaken in their faith. This was a church he had planted, and he was concerned about these young Christians in the faith. They were going through problems, and so he sent Timothy to do two things. He sent Timothy to establish them and to encourage them. Some of the translations say strengthen and encourage, but establish is actually a better translation. And so Timothy's ministry would help them endure, if you like, the hardships that they were going to face so that they wouldn't be unsettled or shaken by them. You see, in this life, if we don't understand the place of suffering in the life of a believer, we're in danger of being shaken in our faith. Some believe that Christians shouldn't suffer affliction. There are actually people who believe that, that God teaches us by his word. And yes, God does want to teach us by his word, but he also teaches us perseverance, obedience, how to comfort others, and deeper fellowship with Jesus in our trials and troubles. James 1, verse 2 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And 2 Corinthians 1 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received from the Lord. How can we share meaningfully with those who are going through trial and trouble if we haven't once been there ourselves and understood just how great God is in those times? And some feel that the only kind of affliction a Christian should suffer is persecution. And yet, there are two Greek words for the experience of suffering, and neither of them point just to persecution. Thlipsis was used for such things as physical pain, emotional hardship. How many of us haven't been here and suffering under temptation? And Pascha, similarly, was used for physical suffering, but not related to persecution, for suffering under temptation and for general hardship. You know, David Guzik says, affliction and trial means that God loves us in the best. He loves us enough to give us the best when we may only desire what's easy. And that is like us sometimes, isn't it? We want an easier road. He says the symbol of Christianity is the cross and not a feather bed. And sometimes we don't want to be moved out of our comfort zones. We want things to be nice and easy as we go along. But Paul recognized that Christians were destined for trouble. And it's so important that we understand that as Christians ourselves. So it doesn't take us by surprise when trouble comes. And Paul was keen for the Thessalonians to know that, so that their faith, when it was tested, would stand up. And he warns them that bad news is part of life. And so Timothy is sent to encourage them, establish them, confirm that what God says in his word, and warn them that there is a tempter. And he specially comes to us when we're weak. I don't know if you've noticed, you must have done if you've been a Christian for any length of time, that the time when you are at your lowest is the time when Satan wants to come in. The time when you're searching for peace, he wants to fill you full of fear. The time when you're just wanting to see a way through, it's like the heavens are like brass and God can't hear you at all. Because that is the way Satan gets at us. Not when we're in our strongest times always, but when we're in our weakest times. And you know, Jesus said in Matthew 13, and verse 20, these words, the seed, he was talking about the parable of the sower, and he was explaining it to his disciples, what it meant. And he said, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. And deep roots mean that a plant is well established. And Jesus was saying that those who aren't really established in him don't last. And that was exactly Paul's fear for the Thessalonians. I want to ask you today, what's your current bad news? What is it in your life that worries you, concerns you, that you're fearful about? Is it pain, discomfort, sickness? Is it difficult circumstances? Is it job problems, financial issues? In a day when things are going real pear-shaped in the financial sense, are financial issues your bad news at this current time? Fear. Is it temptation? Is it something you struggle to get the better of? Something that really has a hold on you? Are you having bad news in that area? The temptation is a problem. Relationship issues. Are they your bad news at this time? What is bad news for you just now? Well, I want you to know today that there is good news. There is good news if you want it. David says this. When I was preparing this, I was reading. I read of a night, Artie Kendall's book, The Way of Wisdom. I think it's called The Way of Wisdom. And it's daily readings. And so I like to have something on my mind when I go to bed. So I read this. And funny enough, last Sunday night, this is what he said. And it was the verse, Psalm 16, verse 8. And the verse is, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. And R.T. says, one of the greatest things you can ever learn as a Christian is to remember that you have the presence of God. A verse that has meant the world to me is Psalm 16, verse 8, R.T. says. Why does it say he set the Lord before himself? It means that he had to remind himself that the Lord was there. You see, setting the Lord before him didn't mean that by doing this, the Lord managed to get there on time. No, the Lord was already there, because David goes on to say, because he is at my right hand. So he's implying that the Lord is already there. But I've set the Lord means he put himself in a frame of mind to remind himself that the Lord was already there. I've set the Lord always before me. And if you can do this in the toughest moments, in the loneliest moment, then you know that he is there. Remind yourself, he is there. And it really touched my heart, because in those times we do need to remind ourselves. Because sometimes the first thing we do when we get bad news is to panic. And our heart is working out, how can we get out of this situation? What is it I can do to make the situation better? And sometimes we just need to stop and set the Lord before us and remind ourselves that he too is here. He too is a person we can turn to and say, Lord, let me know what you want me to do in this situation. What are you teaching me through this? So in our bad news, the good news is it doesn't matter what we go through. He is there. God is with us. And sometimes I need to set the Lord before me, to remind myself I'm not alone. And there's more good news. Do you remember that Jimmy? Was it Jimmy Cricket? He used to keep telling jokes, and he used to keep coming and saying, there's more, there's more. He kept saying that. Well, there's more. The Bible's full of it, actually. And we've sang a load of it this morning. But I'm just going to point you to Isaiah 41:10, which says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. This is good news. Stand on it. Philippians 1:6 says that we need to remember that he who began a good work in us will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. This is good news. Stand on it. He's not going to abandon us halfway through our journey with him. He is there and committed right through to the end. When Satan comes in the hard times and tells you God doesn't care, and sometimes it may feel like that in your situation, or he doesn't hear you, or he can't do anything in your particular situation, set the Lord before you. Set the Lord before you. Remind yourself that he is there. You have the presence of God, and Satan does not. There's nothing that is too difficult for God. This is good news. Stand on it. When you're struggling to set the Lord before you, seek out a Timothy. Paul sent Timothy to encourage the Thessalonians in their faith. Seek out a Timothy to stand with you, to encourage you. When you feel like you're floundering, speak to someone you love and you trust, and you know they know the Lord real well. And share with them and let them encourage you along the way. Seek out a Timothy. Record each triumph you have. Do you know, I'm kind of good at this sometimes and not so good at this. I do have a journal, and occasionally I write in it. Occasionally I get a big long period where I'm writing in it every day, and then I have a big long period where I don't do any at all. But you know, it's so good to look back over what I've written in the past and see how God has dealt and the blessing God has been in my life. You know, record each triumph you have. That will establish you in your faith, because you'll know that when God has been with you in that situation, he'll be with you in the next situation and the next. He's always there. And then last Monday, I do a lot of words, you know, daily words. I do a one in the morning and a one at night, and then I read the Bible in between. But the one in the morning, the next day after last Sunday, was this one. And it says, this is word for today. Jacob, when he was dying, worshipped leaning on his staff. And it says, the Bible says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, worshipped leaning on the top of his staff. Picture this. Each time Jacob had an experience with God, he took a knife and cut a ring around his staff as a reminder of what had happened. The ring started at the bottom and worked their way to the top. One would have surely symbolized the time he wrestled with God, and then God changed his name from Jacob, a usurper, to Israel, a prince with God. Another would have probably been that time in a vision when God showed him a ladder to heaven with angels walking up and down it. Jacob's staff represented a lifetime of experiences with God. So it's not surprising that he died worshipping God and leaning on his staff. Now consider the story of the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings 4. Her son suddenly became ill and died, and Elisha sent Gehazi, his servant, with his staff to let the woman know he was coming. But when Gehazi placed the prophet's staff on the dead boy, nothing happened. Only when Elisha himself came was the child restored. The fact is, you can't lean on anyone's staff but your own. You can't stand on anyone else's experiences with God but your own. When it's time to face life challenges, and including death, you can only lean on the faith that you have developed during your personal walk with God. That's why it's essential to be consistent in faith. The God who preserved, protected, and prospered Jacob all his life as he hung on to that staff representing it will lead him the rest of the way and will lead us the rest of the way. We can't piggyback on the back of someone else's faith. We need to walk and establish our own walk with the Lord, so that when the problems come, when things come that we can't deal with, we will stand because we know him and we know that he is always with us. The bad news is we are destined for trials. The good news is when I set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. How amazing is that?